This week, September 30th, 2014, on The Digital Story. The best flash for Micro Four Thirds. My favorite iPhone camera app. A guide for improving your photography. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Just thrilled to have you here with me. I have a variety of goodies for this week. At the top of the goodie list is a flash for Micro Four Thirds, the Nissan i40. And I'll tell you, when I was researching this flash, I remember reading a user comment saying that, don't even mess with anything else, just buy this flash. And that made me smile. I kind of laughed. But now that I've tested it and have used it for a couple weeks, I have to say, I agree. This thing is killer, and I'll definitely get to it after the weekly update. And then I have a few other goodies for you, including a book review. I'm going to start doing book reviews once a month or so. And I thought that'd be kind of fun to add into the mix. So lots to cover, and I better get going. Let's start with the weekly update. Manual custom exposure camera app for iOS 8. So that's the name of the app, Manual. And it's, I think they could have probably worked on the name a little bit, just naming it Manual. I have a link to it in the show notes. And I actually wrote a review of this little app on The Digital Story. I'm the source for this. But this thing is terrific. And what I love about it, this is for iPhones and iPads. This camera app is for taking pictures. It's called Manual. What it allows you to do, though, is set the ISO, set the shutter speed. Now, obviously, the aperture is locked at, I think, 2.2, f2.2. But it allows you to set the shutter speed, the ISO. You can use auto in both of those, or you can set them yourselves. But unlike using manual controls on a regular camera, you have this real-time feedback on the LCD screen of the iPhone. So as you're just moving the shutter speeds up and down, you're actually seeing in real time how the picture's going to look. And it's super easy to use. I mean, it's extremely easy to use. So basically what you do with this app, you compose the shot, you decide what ISO you want to use. I usually try to get away with the lowest ISO possible. However, if you need to up it for various reasons, for shutter speed, you need a little more shutter speed or something like that, you can do that. Set the ISO and then just basically move the shutter speed up and down till you get exactly the look that you want or the shutter speed that you want. When it really jumped out at me that I love this app was actually last Friday. We had this thunderstorm just blow through Santa Rosa. And I didn't even know it was coming. I hadn't checked the weather that day. But it came through with thunder and lightning and some good rain in the afternoon. It's sort of like a Midwest thing, really. And then about the time for me to go home, it was about 6:30, 6:15, something like that. I was driving and there was this fantastic rainbow, a full rainbow from arch to arch sort of thing. And you usually don't see those in Santa Rosa. It's something that I see when I'm in Hawaii in the afternoon after the rain, but very rarely see them up here in Santa Rosa. And it was gorgeous. So I'm driving, I'm thinking, okay, yes, this is great, but just like any other, big sky shot or rainbow or whatever, the foreground is so important. So you want to take the shot, but if you got like a bunch of buildings and stuff, it doesn't really come across the way you want it to. So I took an exit and I pulled off and there was the Arts Center, the Wells Fargo Center for Arts, right off this exit. This is when I was heading north going home. So I pulled off over there and I remember there was a sculpture kind of at the entrance of the Arts Center that was pretty neat. In fact, I had always wanted to photograph the sculpture, but never quite had the right situation. Well, this was the right situation. So I pulled in, jump out of the car, go over there with the iPhone, find the sculpture, line it up so that the rainbow and the sculpture are interacting, and took some shots with this camera app, this manual camera app. And what's so nice about it, that in these situations where the sky is kind of dark, but there's light coming in on certain elements, the automatic exposure on most cameras, including the iPhone, will tend to overexpose the shot. It'll tend to make things too light. And I wanted more drama than that. I wanted that darkish sky to stay dark, but I wanted the rainbow and the sculpture to really pop out. And it was so easy to do with this app to get exactly the look that I wanted. You know, with just the regular camera app, let's say on the iPhone, now with iOS 8, you can move your finger up and down, which is really nice. This is a major improvement to also get that look, but you don't have the control over the ISO. And it tends to raise the ISO up more for these sort of shots than I want. I was able to keep the ISO low to keep the grain down in the image and then, you know, use the shutter speed to make the adjustment. So at that moment, I go, you know what? I really like this app. So now it is on my home screen right next to the regular camera app, which I also like with iOS 8. I like them both. Obviously, last week I talked about the Photos app for iOS 8 and how much you can do editing-wise. So, I mean, we have some major improvements here for our mobile photography. I believe that the manual custom exposure camera app for iOS 8, I believe it's $1.99. There's a link to it in the digital story where I write the review. I have some screenshots and also the, you know, all the pricing information and everything. But it's really cheap. It's a cup of coffee cheap. And I tell you, I really like it a lot. And in certain situations, especially where the lighting's a little difficult and you want a specific look, I think this is really worth the $1.99 that it will cost you. In other news, speaking of lighting, this is new from this group. It's called Photodiox is the name of the company. Photodiox. It's Photodiox. And I just sort of stumbled across their new product, which is called Flapjack LED Edge Light Series. So it's Photodiox Flapjack LED Edge Light Series. And of course, I have a link to this in the show notes. This particular post is from Photography Blog. I saw it a couple of other places too. And what these are, LED lights, primarily, I think, for studio. I mean, they're not huge. The small one is about, you know, the diameter of your hand if you had all your fingers outstretched. And then there's a second round one that is a few inches bigger than that. And you can mount them on stands. You can handhold them. They have batteries, or you can plug them into the wall. And, you know, they have a lot of little accessories that make them very easy to use. So they're big enough to use them for portrait lighting and for product photography. But they're small enough that you can put them in a camera bag and take them on location with you, especially having the rechargeable battery. But what's really interesting about them is the way that they use the LEDs to illuminate the subject. And I'll just read a quote here from Photography Blog. Rather than using forward-facing LEDs common in conventional panels, and I'm going to say parenthetically here, almost every panel I've seen uses LEDs this way. The LEDs are facing directly toward the subject. The Flapjack's LEDs are mounted around the outer edge, aimed inward at layers of diffusion material to produce bounced light. So this is cool because, so instead of having those little LEDs pointing directly at your subject, they're basically bouncing off a white surface inside the Flapjack itself. Yet this thing is very thin. It's super thin. So I think they're super interesting. I contacted the agency that is handling this account. And in fact, I happen to know this agency I've worked with over the years for other things. And I'm going to have some coming as soon as review units are available. So I'll test them here and write a review up the road. But I wanted to put them on your radar now. And the reason why I like to do that is that if you're thinking about making a purchase, you're thinking about making a lighting purchase for your home studio or for your studio at work or for a location portraiture or something like that, it's good to know, you know, what's going to be available soon also, so that you can evaluate that along with what's available now. And you might decide, hey, I really like these. I might hold off a month and see if these other units are available. So that's why I like to bring them up now. Now, the price for these, there's four different models. There's two round ones and two rectangular ones. There's one rectangular one that starts at $249. And then the two mid-sizes are $299, and then there's a large one for $399, and that includes the battery and pretty much, I think, all the stuff that goes with it. So they're at the high end of what I would like to pay for portable studio light like this. Like I said, if the results are really good and if the battery life is excellent and so forth, and if I can drop two of these in a bag and then use them on location, then, you know what, the investment might be worth it. And the good thing about LEDs, of course, is that they last a long time. So if you like it and if it works well for you, then, you know, you're set for a number of years up the road. So anyway, that's the Photodeox Flapjack LED Edge Light Series. And the link that I have in the show notes is to the story on photographyblog.com. And finally, I have a rumor. I love rumors, as I always like to say. Samsung is working on a black and white only NX camera. And this camera will be a special edition version of the NX300. And it will sport the same 20 megapixel sensor as the standard NX300, only without the Bayer array or low pass filter. Here's the thing about this that's interesting. Right now, I think really the only dedicated monochromatic camera is the unit sold by Leica, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful black and white camera, but it is a Leica and therefore is rather expensive. So I think what Samsung's looking at here is to bring out a monochromatic camera that isn't as expensive, but yet produces really good results. So this will be fun to see if it does indeed pan out and how it pans out. Having a camera that's black and white only, it's a luxury, you know, no doubt about it. This is a luxury item. But if you love black and white and if you love shooting black and white, well, you know, it could be a luxury worth having, especially if you already have lenses. So anyway, a lot of fun, and this was compliments of Petapixel, and of course I'll have the link to it in the show notes. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Okay, let's get to the feature story here, which is a review of the Nissan i40 Compact Flash for 4/3 cameras. This is a $269 unit. And it is dedicated for it says dedicated for 4/3. And then when you actually go to the catalog page, it says micro 4/3, which I think is more the real use for this flash. Now, Nissan also makes these flashes for other cameras too. So if you're not shooting micro 4/3, but this flash sounds interesting to you, then keep listening because chances are they make a model that'll work for you too. They make them for Canon, Nikon, Sony, and I think others also. This is a cool little flash. And I can't believe really that it wasn't on my radar earlier. And in fact, I don't even remember how I stumbled across it. Let me kind of give you the lowdown on it, and then I'll talk a little bit about using it. First of all, it truly is a compact flash. It weighs just over 7 ounces and is just shy of 3.5 inches on its longest side. But yet it packs a real punch, not only in terms of brightness. It has a pretty hefty guide number of 131 at ISO 100. And it has a power zoom that ranges from 24 millimeters to 105 millimeters. And then it also has a built-in diffuser that you can use that widens the field to 16 millimeters. It rotates horizontally 360 degrees, so you can get any angle horizontally, and it goes up and down 90 degrees. Just in terms of its physicality, it's compact, but yet it has, you know, all the stuff that you would need. Now, when you go to the back of the flash, this is the part that really got me excited, was on the back panel, there are two dials. There's a mode dial on the left and a power dial on the right. There is no LCD screen. And I'm really, really happy about that because I personally hate LCD screens on flashes. They are so difficult to use. It seems like when you're in a dark environment, they don't light up bright enough. And when you're in a bright environment, they're very difficult to see what's going on. You usually have to press little buttons that are difficult when you're under the gun. They're just hard to use. This has two nice big dials that you can just rotate with your thumb. Now, on the left dial, the mode dial, you can set it for TTL. So you can put the flash, this particular flash, in any Olympus or Panasonic Micro Four Thirds camera and have TTL photography. When you're in TTL mode, then the right dial is your exposure compensation. So you can do +1, +2, +3, or -1, -2, -3. It's just boom, boom. And you just see, and you just, the numbers are big. You just rotate the dials with your thumbs. It's a piece of cake. Now, if you want to use manual flash, which I love, you know, I've written about this a lot lately, then you just put the mode dial in manual, just like that. And then what you do is then you rotate the power dial to the power that you want for the manual flash. So you go from full power all the way to 1/250th. So it's not just, you know, one or two manual settings. You have a bunch of manual settings for this flash. Going on from there, it has LED. So you have continuous light option. Again, you put the mode dial in LED. And then the power dial allows you to set the intensity of the LED. And you have like five settings for that. It's just really cool. And then on top of that, it works with your wireless transceiver in your camera. So I was testing it with the Olympus OMD EM1. I put the little pop-up flash in the hot shoe on the OMD, go into wireless mode with it, put the Nissan i40 in wireless mode, Group A, and then it just works. It just works. Now, you don't have any settings on the power dial in this thing because you're controlling it now from the camera, and which that also, you know, that's the way it should be. So it's very easy to set. It's very logical. I could see a lot of photographers never even having to go to the reference manual to use the flash out of the shoot and then only going to the manual when they wanted to learn some of its more esoteric features. It uses four AA batteries. The recharge is pretty good on it. If you're shooting at 1/4 power or less, it recycles almost instantly. If you go to 1/2 power, it took about 3 seconds to recycle. And then at full power, where it's just boom, using everything it's got, it took about 8 seconds to recycle. Now, most of the time, of course, you're not shooting at full power. Most of the time, the camera is telling it to shoot at 1/2 power or less. So your recycle times should be pretty good with this. The other thing that I like about it is that it's designed to look good on the camera. It's the right size. It's the right scale. It feels like a flash designed for this style of camera. And again, in this case, I was using it and photographed it on the EM1. So all in all, I just think that it's a gem. Now, it's not cheap. It's $269. And of course, I have a link to it in the show notes. But if you think about what the manufacturer's flashes are going for, it's definitely right in the ballpark. And I have to tell you straight up that this flash is better than any of the Olympus flashes I have. is so much better. Just the fact that I have that manual control alone makes me love it. The LED, I've never had a flash where I actually had control of the LED light before. It was always either the LED was on or was off. This, you know, gives me those various power settings. It is just well thought out. And it has all the little things too. The diffuser panel, in case you need to use a wider lens with it, that just pulls out of the flash head and just flips right up. It's not an extra part that you have to keep track of or anything. It has a built-in bounce card. So at the on the other side of the flash head has a built-in bounce card. Again, just pulls right up. You don't have to carry it around, you know, anything like that. You have the bounce card with you all the time. It comes with a case, and they included a little softener that goes over the flash head in case you want to soften the light. Now, I'm not using the softener that came with it because I like my Rogue flash benders, so I'm using a flash bender with it. But it's cool. You have a softener. You don't have to buy any extra parts at all. It comes with basically, you know, everything you need. It comes with a little flash foot so that you can set it up somewhere else and then control it wirelessly. So I just think it's a terrific little unit. I like it a lot. The pictures are good. Now, on the downside, you know, when I wrote about this flash for CT, Digital Photography Magazine, and there's a link in the show notes that'll take you over there. One of the nits that I had with it was that when I shot with it with my Panasonic 24 to 35 zoom lens, when I was at 24, I did notice a little vignetting from the flash, even though the flash is supposed to go 24 wide. So in that case, what I did was I went ahead and put the diffuser up on it, the built-in diffuser, that supposedly widens it to 16 millimeters. My guess is probably not quite 16 millimeters, but it was perfect for my 24 millimeter lens that I had on there. I think they were a little off on that. I think if I had any complaint at all about it, it does a vignette a bit on the wide end, but fortunately, you do have that built-in diffuser panel that's available. So this is the flash that is now in my camera bag, and I'll especially be using it for editorial assignments. But because it has all those manual power settings, I can use it with my other rig. I can even use it with my 5D Mark II, because generally when I'm doing environmental portraiture with that camera, I'm using manual flashes only. I've talked about before using these old Sun Packs. Well, this flash will fit right in because it has those manual power settings. And of course, I can use it for video because it has the LED lights. If you haven't been satisfied with the Hot Shoe flash for your Micro Four Thirds camera or any of the other brands for that matter, I'd take a look at the Nissan i40 compact flash. It is a beauty. And like I said, I can't believe that it wasn't on my radar before now. Alrighty, I have a book review for you today, and I'll tell you, suddenly I have a lot of really great photography books around the studio. As you know, I started working with Rocky Nook Publishing, makers of excellent photography books. So I have my pick of the litter, and I've been going through the books, the titles that interest me, and I think I'm going to pick like one a month and talk about it. And the one I'm going to start out with, this is an ebook. And the thing that I like about it is that if you're interested in this, you can just download it and you have it right there on your iPad or your Android tablet, whatever you're using, not only for reading it, but for reference. And so thinking along those lines, the book that I'm featuring this month is called Learning to Photograph. It's volume 2. And the reason why I picked volume 2 is because for this audience, for my audience, which is more of an enthusiast audience, I thought it really addressed the things that we're thinking about and trying to improve. Now, it's 256 pages, and it's by Cora Banick and George Banick, and it lists for $31.99, but I've got some good news for you on that that I'll do after the review. Hint, 35% discount. But we'll get to that in a few minutes here. So the reason why I like Volume 2 is that, let me list some of the things that it deals with. Visual perception, composition, shapes and lines, managing light and different light sources, color and its effects, black and white, sharpness, blur, and movement, the interplay of visual design elements, image analysis and evaluation. So you can see it's more about how to take better photographs instead of how to press the shutter button, which is nothing wrong with how to press the shutter button. But I think, again, for the kind of conversations that we have on this podcast, Volume 2 is a better fit. It's a PDF. It's an ebook. You can buy it right there on the Rocky Nook site. I have the link in the show notes, or you can just go to rockynook.com and go over to Learning to Photograph Volume 2. Now, here's the thing. You can get the book for $20.79. And in order to do that, just use the code, the coupon code, LP14. Leonard Paul 14. And it's very easy to do. I went through the process. So when you're checking out, right at the top, they say, you know, they have coupon code right up there. And you just enter the LP14, and then you say, press the button for apply code. And it does it right away. Then you see the price drop from $31.99 to $20.79. And that's saving you $11.20. You download it, put it on your device, read it on your computer, however you want to do it. And off you go. Now, if you forget about the name of the book or the discount code, and I anticipated this because I'm only going to do one of these a month, so I'm not going to run the spot every week. I'm only going to run the spot this week until we do another book. So what I did was I have a tile that I put in the right column of the digital story that has the name of the book and the coupon code and I believe a URL, so that if you forget, just go to the digital story and we'll get you fixed up. I like these kind of books, not only for improving my photography, but also for inspiration, because sometimes you just get stuck and you want to look at pictures and think about a project that you can do to take something different, to do something a little outside of your comfort zone. I think this book will help you, Learning to Photograph, Volume 2. Okay, just a little bit of Virtual Camera Club business before we scoot on out of here. The photo assignment for September, there's still one more day, and I'll be honest with you, if you're a day late, I'll still accept your entry, is Shot from Behind. And if you have an idea for this, this is a gallery that you want to be part of because it's a cool gallery. Now, one of those selections will be the Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month, and that person will get a Sizzle Picks of their winning entry. And how cool is that? So not only do you prepare it to be in the gallery to show off to the world your great idea for Shot from Behind, but then if you end up being the pick of the month, you get it sizzled and you get to hang it on the wall for everyone that comes over to your house or to your studio or to your office, wherever you want to put it. And remember, when you make a Sizzle Picks of it, it is like a retina display that you hang on the wall. Very cool. Definitely worth doing. Shot from Behind is the photo assignment for September. We got a little bit of time left for you to get that in. Now, also, I want to mention folks over at Red River Paper. And I've been talking a lot about the card shop, which I think this time of year is very appropriate. They have all sorts of surfaces to make your own fine art greeting cards and everything else that you need, including the ink and the envelopes. And just go over to the Red River Paper site. We have a tile, all the pages of the digital story. And they have their wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. So you got sizzlepicks.com, and they have a tile on all the pages, and you have Red River Paper. So we've got your output needs covered. All right, well, I think that is going to do it for this week. so happy that you could join me. Have some terrific stories for next week. I've got a lot of big news for October. October is going to be a very busy and productive month for us, so you got to make sure you come by next week, because I'm going to start rolling out the goodies in the next podcast. Until then, have a fantastic week. Thanks so much for joining me, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye now.